welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, Mike.
We are going to look this week at a randomized control trial. We've been heavily focused for the past couple of weeks on meta-analysis, and we're going to look at cervical cancer screening. We know that over the past number of decades, cervical cancer screening has led to a significant decrease in mortality from cervical cancer. Unfortunately, that is not the case around the world, where cervical cancer screening is much harder to come by. But in developed countries, this has been a game changer. Methods for screening include, obviously, the Pap smear, which does cytology, and testing now for high-risk types of human papillomavirus. As the number of young women and men that are provided with the human papillomavirus vaccine increases, the question is being asked, what is the best means of cervical cancer screening in women who've received the HPV vaccine? You found an article, it was published in PLOS Medicine in 2017. It's an electronic publication, so there's no page number, but it attempts to answer the question, what is the best means of cervical cancer screening in women who've received the human papilloma vaccine? Mark, what did they find? It's an Australian study.
Yeah, and by moving south, I am assuming you mean geographically, because this is a study set in Australia, and where the study was performed, all women included in the study were offered HPV vaccination at age 12 to 13 years, or if they were older, as a catch-up. An estimated roughly two-thirds of the women received all three doses, so some didn't receive all three doses. But the question is, you know, that we've got this changing landscape of vaccination, testing, the new guidelines from the USPSTF and others are advocating HPV as an option, as a sole test rather than co-testing. And so in this study, over 1,000 women under the age of 33 who had been offered HPV vaccine, this group we just talked about, they were randomized to get cancer screening for cervical cancer using one of three strategies. The first was liquid-based cytology every 2.5 years, with follow-up HPV co-testing if the results were abnormal. HPV testing alone every 5 years with cytology or colposcopy if the results were abnormal. Or HPV testing every 5 years with follow-up cell staining for oncogenic markers in women with identified oncogenic HPV 16 or 18 on the initial screening. So either a cytology-based or two HPV-based screening strategies. And what they found was that in the HPV testing arms, the rates of finding high-grade precancerous disease, CIN2 or higher, was between 2.5% and 3%, compared to only 0.5% in the cytology arm. So we don't know mortality outcomes. We don't know long-term outcomes. What we do know is that an HPV-based strategy is better at identifying women with CIN2 plus. You know, you have to make the leap of faith that that is a good thing, and that prevents some cervical cancer down the road. And so bottom line, in women who'd been previously offered HPV vaccine, which is the case in the U.S. now, screening for HPV every 5 years with cytology and colposcopy as needed based on the HPV was better at identifying CIN2 plus than other approaches. So I think it's supportive of the new guideline recommendations from the task force and others that are saying, especially for women 30 and older, just HPV testing every 5 years in average risk women is adequate.
I just got back from a conference looking at artificial intelligence, and one of the presentations was from a group in Scandinavia looking at cytology. And they have done remarkable things with having computers scan and interpret cytologic slides with an incredible high degree of accuracy. I think that this whole field is on the verge of disruption, and perhaps maybe even radiology, but there's some amazing stuff going on in terms of pixelating and going and being able to look at things, some of them supposedly not even recognizable to the human eye.
Yeah, it's there have been some, there was a report recently on a group trying to use machine learning techniques and visual processing for detecting cancers earlier. You know, of course, all of these things are still have to be studied in terms of what's their impact on clinical outcomes, because if you find cancery looking things earlier, you might do a lot more biopsies with relatively little benefit. But it, I agree, it is promising, and I'm glad I'm not going into radiology right now. Yeah. I wonder what's going to happen to that field. I think it's going to look very different 20 years from now.
Yeah, or even 10 years. But your point is a good one in terms of clinical validation. Anyways, thanks, Mark. We'll talk with you again next week.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.